You're listening to Footy Roundup, Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe. Matty, what a weekend for Canadian teams in the MLS.
Absolutely. Two huge wins for Toronto and Vancouver. I guess let's just start with Toronto first, Rob. That was some comeback, and they so badly needed it.
Desperately. I mean, last show we were talking about how I thought it was a must 3 points. You were saying, you know, 90-ish percent for the three. I got to admit, when Hagelin scored twice to pull it back in the second half, I thought to myself, you know, a draw, considering where they were, at least keep yourself alive here is nice. A win on a late Bradley goal, much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And Hagelin as well was at fault as well for one of the two Portland goals.
So I'd say he redeemed himself.
And then he could definitely say he redeemed himself with those two goals. I mean, I don't think anyone would have bet on Hagelin bagging a brace, but it doesn't matter where they come from right now for TFC. That's a huge 3 points after being 2-0 down to win 3-2, I mean. And then Bradley, those balls in where you bounce it right on the six-yard line or in and around that area are just so devastating because no one knows what to do. They don't know if the goalie should come get it, the defender clears it, the attacker leaves it. Like, no one knows what's happening. And it works every time.
Do you think Bradley knew what was happening there? Was he going for a goal, or what do you think was his thought process?
I don't think he's thinking he's going to score, but you know, you always just put getting the ball the box, right there. Yeah. Like, I mean, when I played in goal, which was, you know, for 15 years, I hated those balls in because
you don't know whether
it's
to
so
charge
crowded
or not.
And you don't know whether you should come for it because there's a good chance you might take some guy out or your defender might do something stupid
flick
or you don't
in,
know what the attacker might do. They're such tricky balls to defend, and that was a world-class ball in. I mean, that alone has covered old Michael's salary for a few weeks, to say the least, for that goal.
I mean, it certainly made the keeper, Matty, look silly, particularly to people maybe who don't follow soccer too much. Yeah. They're thinking, well, he's just standing there on a ball that wasn't coming that quick.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. The goalie is at no
There's
fault.
There's more
there.
To it
there,
than that, yeah.
Anyone who says that's the goalie's fault doesn't really understand what happened there. That's just a great ball in, and it's mass confusion because they're such deadly balls, and you don't know how to defend them, attack them. I mean, there's a reason teams score with that, you know, often, like seven, eight times out of ten when those balls go in, because it's hard to defend and they're just too dangerous if the ball goes in the box.
I had some friends, Matty, who were at the game, and they told me that it was the loudest they've heard BMO Field probably since late in year two. Do you think that this could maybe turn things around for Toronto? I would say it could, but they need to take advantage of what they managed to achieve here.
Yeah, like it's funny because like in a way, what have they turned around?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were kind of playing quite well and it started picking up results. So in a way, they haven't turned around, but obviously in the game itself to come from 2-0 down is a turnaround.
That's the second time in their history they've come back from a 2-goal deficit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Rare. And believe me, they've been down by two or more
often. A lot. We know that. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's good to come back. It shows great resolve.
Yep.
But then the other end, you got to look at, like, you were 2-0 down after 16 minutes with an absolute gong show of a start. I mean, when it was 2-0, I mean, I was watching the NFL at the same time, but I didn't really know what to really think. I didn't know what to switch back to or what was happening. So, I mean, you know, good resolve to come back. So, it's probably the best thing to look at it.
Yep, it's a big potential turning point, and I'm really hopeful that they can seize advantage of this. I mean, to rescue not even just a point, Matt, but 3 points from, you know, the cusp of having nothing. It was one of those starts where you're thinking same old TFC, and I also think, you know, some good fortune that maybe this game was at BMO and not in Portland, because I don't think there's, you know, any chance in Portland that they're pulling a result like that after that start.
Well, Portland is so dangerous. I should say they played Saturday, not Sunday. So college football instead of NFL. But the point is, I was also watching football. But like when TFC went 2-0 down, it was, you know, you kind of just thought it was game over. But it was just so good for them to come back. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, I think if Portland were at home, who were basically in a similar position as TFC, they would have put this game to bed.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, I at the end of the day, I think the only thing you can really just give credit for how hard they worked, because they, you know, they deserved it in the end.
Incidentally enough, actually, Toronto also did Vancouver a massive favor with this result.
Right? Yeah, they did. Obviously, Portland are basically battling with Vancouver for that final playoff spot. So Canadians helping Canadians as they always do.
Always a friendly way to go
Absolutely.
About it. It was quite the result for the Whitecaps as well. I mean, things weren't looking so hot for them, and they managed to pull max points. Absolutely huge. Once again, you know, Pedro Morales was at the heart of all of it. He's unbelievable.
And
he did miss a penalty in the first half that was really ugly, but he bounced back and then actually had a second penalty that he scored before the winner.
And they were 1-0 down as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, anytime you're 1-0 down and you can go back to win is always a good day at the office. So, I mean, but Pedro Morales has been fantastic for Vancouver. And
yeah, he's always carrying the mail for them. And I think if Vancouver does make it, he's going to need to be at the forefront of most of what they're doing attacking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forward.
Especially with like their goal scoring woes they had earlier, like, you know, what, a month ago when they didn't score for like four and a half games. So, you know, if Pedro Morales can keep finding the back of the net, then that's really going to help them. I mean, the West race is literally Vancouver and Portland.
Yeah.
Like Dallas are 8 points clear and Colorado are 8 points behind Vancouver.
It's certainly a little bit more murky on Toronto's side of the table too.
Yeah, I mean, we have the table here and, you know, from fourth through even eighth for Houston, who are still alive because they have a game in hand there as well. Yeah, it's a 7-point gap, so they're very much in it. I mean, Toronto are sixth, 1 point behind New York, but they still have, like, I feel like every week we say Toronto has a game in hand.
Yeah.
Like, just every week they somehow have a game in hand over everyone. MLS's schedule is a disaster. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why you can't just play every week at Saturday or Sunday, as, you know, all the other major leagues do, but that's part and part. You know, Toronto's next game is away. I had a brain freeze there for a split second. Didn't know quite what to say. They're away at LA for their next game this Saturday, and we all know how good LA are. They had a 4-0 win last night. They've scored tons of goals. Quick side check on LA. Did you see Robbie Keane's first goal last night?
I didn't, no.
The guy is still so good. Just a chip from the right side of the box, right over the keeper's head into the top corner. Beautiful.
He's very much an MLS type striker too.
Yeah, he is.
He's so physical, and you know, he doesn't shy away from that brand of soccer that you see over here in North America. You know, it's a little bit less tactical, a little less technical. So the Galaxy matchup, I mean, I think TFC would be happy with the draw here. Oh, and then following it up with, you know, I'd say a must win against Houston.
Yeah, they have to beat Houston at home. That's a week on Wednesday.
And I mean, a loss for Houston against TFC would pretty much be a bullet to their head, right?
Yeah, pretty much right. I mean, the LA game, I think TFC would be delighted if they can have a point. I mean, I think realistically, though, I think we have to go into this game thinking they might not get anything out of it and just accept it for what it is, because LA are just so good. They're tied for first in the West with Seattle.
So, I mean, by the same token, though, why not just go for broke with it? I mean, well, if you have no expectation anyways, maybe.
But I mean, I don't know what this
Montreal. Montreal tied this team.
Yeah, which is true.
The Impact.
Yeah, who were terrible.
Yeah.
And lost again at the weekend. I can see where you're coming from, that you should just go all out, because in a way you got nothing to lose.
They lose,
but then
nothing, who cares? I mean, right. Goals maybe, but unlikely.
It depends, you know. But if they get into halftime at 0-0, then you might you might want to change your idea. I don't know if you want to start up with like a 3-3-5 or, you know, something absolutely absurd up front, like, or 3-3-4 or whatever. But
with Defoe due to come back, what would you do with the lineup? Would you bring him in? Would you not mess with something that's working? I'm a little bit torn. I think
it's a hard
one. You need to be playing your best players, and I mean, all these games he missed, he's still leading the team in goals.
Right.
I think you got to incorporate him somehow. Maybe even go, you know, three forwards if you need to. He needs to play.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I mean, you could also maybe have Defoe play behind Gilberto and Moore in like a 10 role, as you like to say. You've got to put Defoe in the lineup if he's healthy. I mean, the guy is still one of the top 3, 4, 5 players in MLS, period. Even though, you know, we obviously think he probably is on his way out. Just Gilberto and Moore have just played so well, I feel, in the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, that it's hard to really bench either of them. So maybe, you know, going free up front, or some kind of like 1-2 or 2-1 might be the way to do this. I don't know. I strongly believe that you got to put Defoe in the lineup.
Vancouver's got a huge fixture too, maybe more so than Toronto when you really look at it. They're going up against FC Dallas at home.
Yeah, well, we said Dallas have 8 points ahead of Vancouver, so you know, it's a big, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game Vancouver has to win.
Yeah.
Depends what Portland does as well, obviously, because there's still, you know, a handful of games left in the season. I guess maybe if Vancouver can avoid defeat, I guess technically they are playing a side that is superior than them, but at home, especially in this late in the season, you expect to pick up 3 points here.
Yeah, you really need to.
Well, yeah, exactly, right, to keep your playoff aspirations alive. So I'd be curious to see, actually, if Portland play Vancouver at some point in the rest of the season. We should maybe find that out. But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to pick up your 3 points at home.
And then Montreal at Chicago, if anybody cares.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't.
No, I don't. Can't really say I do either too much. I mean, that we say this every week, but obviously Montreal's season's been over for a while. They lost again 2-0 at the weekend. You know, I mean, I think they, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't watched much of their stuff recently, but I think they are playing slightly better. But at the end of the day, I it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. They've been terrible all season.
Yeah, I mean, playing slightly better when the season's over is neither here nor there, ultimately, at the end of the day.
Just to confirm here, Rob, I did just check. Vancouver's final four games are Dallas at home, Sounders, San Jose on the road, and then Colorado at home.
Colorado at home is going to be probably massive in that last
So they're not playing Portland is the point I'm trying to make there.
Maddie, switching gears to the EPL. Couple of interesting results. A couple of ties I pegged here as well.
Yeah,
actually.
You did. You came through with your picks. How much money did you win?
None this time. I got to start maybe laying down a
little
couple
coin,
quid,
right?
As they say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Liverpool Everton 1-1. Looked like Liverpool was winning it late on another Gerrard rescue, but it wasn't to be.
No, I mean, Liverpool are just having a terrible season, right? I mean, they're down in 13th in the table. Yeah,
they played well
points.
In this game, too. Even when something's going right, it doesn't go right enough for them.
But at the end, the only thing I'm going to say about this game, I'll be honest, I didn't get to watch this game. But the only thing you need to say about this game is two words: Phil Jagielka.
Yeah, fantastic goal.
What a strike. I mean, last minute, you're one of those situations where you just don't know, you can't do anything about it.
No.
Like, it was possibly goal of the season already. I know usually we tend to say that everyone gets all excited about goal of the seasons early in the year, but this is genuinely a contender. Just a beautiful strike. And to make it even better is it's a center half who isn't known to ever do this.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of Tin Yedvay's goal for Leverkusen as well. Yeah.
Anytime
Glenn
Johnson every now and then unleashes a few rocket
launchers
too. Yeah, he's more of a midfielder, so it's a little...
He gets forward a little more.
But not. I mean, he's not much of a forward guy. I remember Raphael's. Do you remember Raphael's goal for Man United at QPR a couple of seasons ago? Mm-hmm. That volley was a thing of beauty. Every now and then a defender pops up with beauty, and this is no different. Jagielka with a stunner. Good away point for Everton.
Yeah, they'll be happy with that.
And I mean, they need it too, because they're struggling. They're below Liverpool in the league. They're 14th with 6 points. So they're having a rough start to the year. Merseyside is not too happy this year, Rob.
Arsenal Tottenham, Matty 1-1.
Yeah, another draw, I should say. Obviously, there were goals. It was a goal scoring draw, 1-1. Oxlade-Chamberlain with a late equaliser. Well, late-ish, 75 minutes. I did watch this game. I thought Arsenal were the better side. But like the Merseyside derby, the North London derby, you're the away team, you're pretty excited by a point. And I don't think this was any different. So, you know, good result overall. Arsenal, though, they're considered points lost, though.
Yeah, this is, you know, what I've been touching upon in the past couple shows with Arsenal. When they want to legitimately compete, it just seems, not that this is a horrible result. I mean, Tottenham is a solid side, but, you know, if Arsenal has real legit aspirations here, you want 3 points in this fixture.
Yeah, well, exactly right. But, you know, I mean, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain's the guy who gets the goal. It's not a guy you want to be relying on to get goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know, these guys need to step up and score when, you know, Sanchez and Walcott and Welbeck and these guys aren't getting the job done. So
I caught a bit of the Man City Hull match as well. City made
pretty
a bit of they made a bit of a meal of this one. I mean, they left it till late to like fully clinch this this matchup, but I mean, 3 points in the bag ultimately, and look at Frank Lampard. What more can you say at this point?
The guy keeps scoring
producing,
now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting it done, which is... I mean, I don't think we expect anything less out of Lamps, because he's, you know, he's proven how good he is at his time at Chelsea. Still find it weird he's wearing a Man City shirt. But anyway, I mean, you know, you race to a 2-0...
It's still blue, eh?
Yeah, different shade of blue, unfortunately, for Chelsea fans. You know, they race to a 2-0 lead pretty quickly, and then they just blow it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a penalty, was it? No, an own goal, and then a bit of disastrous defending.
Yep.
The own goal was pretty funny, though. Just love it when the ball comes in, the defender just takes a whack at it and just flies past the goalie. I hated it when I played in goal, but anyway. And then you come back to win 4-2. So, I mean, good resolve to come back in the second half and clinch the 3 points. Aguero had a goal. Xhaka scored twice, and we mentioned Lampard's goal.
Yeah,
so
they can't
those
give
are the
away,
guys you expect.
They can't give away the 3 points here. I guess at the end of the day, no one's going to remember. Style points don't matter. They
picked
up the max points.
I mean, Hull were a little bit of a tricky side. I've
been
to that.
Be,
I went to that stadium when I lived in England for a game, and it's a nice place, actually, but... They're a little tricky. You expect to get 3 points there, but...
Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't. But yeah, it's a little tricky place to play.
Chelsea rolls 3-0 over Villa. No surprise there?
No, not really. Oscar Costa, Willian with the goals. It was pretty straightforward from what I understand.
And Man United, West Ham. What a little bit of controversy, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
You know, some people are saying Rooney's card wasn't justified. I felt personally that it was. And then once again, they kind of make a meal out of a fixture with a lesser team at home.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Man United do when they played, you know, the Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool and Man City's, because they are struggling against, you know, you look at who they've played this year and they play teams around, they should basically be beating every week. I don't agree. I actually don't think Rooney should have been sent off. It was more aggressive than just trying to clip his leg, but I don't think he intended to, like, hurt the guy. It's a booking, but it's not a red card, in my opinion.
You don't think so?
No, if he was on a yellow, it would be a second yellow. So it's definitely a yellow, but I didn't think he should have been sent off.
I'll tell you why I think he should have. Right before that incident, Rooney was kind of, you know, complaining demonstratively to the official a little bit. He was a little bit frustrated. And then, Matt, not 4 or 5 seconds later, he's running back, and it's clear, maybe he didn't hit him fully. The intent to me was clear.
Yeah.
And if you look where he hit / nearly hit him, without getting too graphic, it wasn't a great area.
For now, it would have hurt.
So, I mean, I think the intent was clearly there. And you know what? Rooney didn't really complain too much about the sending off either, which tells me something. He kind of just glared, and he went on his way. I've seen Rooney complain more about calls than he did on that one.
Well, anytime Rooney is sent off, it's because he's frustrated about something.
Rooney being Rooney.
Yeah, it never changes. The only reason he gets himself sent off, and he's done pretty all right for himself recently. Like,
the first time in a while I remember him outwardly losing his cool.
The last time I'm thinking of when he got sent off was the England qualifier away at wherever it was, somewhere in Eastern Europe, when they drop points as usual. Of course we did. I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was a red card. I just, you know, the intent was there to tackle him. I just think he executed it wrong. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he was frustrated. Yeah. I mean, that's Rooney in a nutshell. That's kind of how he gets himself sent off in these situations. But he had a goal as well earlier in the game. Gave United a lead, and then RVP got the second. But you know, for United, they won't care. They got 3 points, which is surprisingly to say, it's actually huge for them, considering all things considered.
Yeah, for me, the intent just seemed not to play the ball, and it seemed more to play the body. So I guess there's nothing you can do about it now, and we can't agree about everything, hopefully, around.
No, of course not, of course not. But I mean, quickly, like, Chelsea 16 points, top of the table, and then Southampton 2-1 win against QPR at the weekend at home. They're second in the league, Rob. No Lallana, no Lambert. None of these guys, but still getting it done. Man City, Arsenal, Swansea, Villa, the next four in line.
Totally a random and bizarre fact, Matt, that's happening. I recently purchased the new FIFA game on PS4, and I'm playing an EPL season as Chelsea in first place currently. And in the game, Southampton is second and City is third.
There you
through
go.
Five games. It looks the realism.
It's realism on the field and in real life.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Serie A, Matty. Roma 2, Verona nothing. No surprise there.
No, they left it late, though. The boys left it late. Florenzi in the 75th minute, and then Destro sealed it late with a beautiful goal from just inside the halfway line, kind of like the little semicircle thing in Verona's half. I mean, they're 5 from 5, because Serie A, as well as Bundesliga, had midweek games this week. And Roma got a away win at Parma, which is a good result. Pjanic got an 88th minute goal, so that was big. But Juve as well.
Rolls past Atalanta, much like Chelsea's result.
I'm on the road. Tevez twice and Morata. And Juve also won 3-0 home to Cesena in the midweek as well. So, I mean, Juve and Roma are cruising through Serie A right now.
Milan and Cesena draw.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing for Milan. They can't really afford to have those kind of results right now.
Speaking of can't have that, Inter Milan dropping 4-1 at home.
In the first half as well. All the goals were in the first half. Edel had a hat trick for Cagliari, and he missed a penalty. I think it was him. Well, someone missed a penalty. I mean,
a natural hat trick, I think, too. Didn't he score 3 in a row in the game? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. You know, he did. That's an awful result for Inter. Just a shocking result. And then I guess the other couple of big results from the weekend anyway were Sampdoria winning away at Genoa. Big because Sampdoria were actually the third in Serie A on 11 points. 4 points behind Juve and Roma already. I mean, Udinese don't play till later today, Rob, so they're on 9 points in fourth, but they could obviously leapfrog with a win today. But they got a good away win against Lazio in the middle of the week. So, I mean, Serie A is, you know, I guess the big thing to talk about Serie A, Rob, is the matchups this weekend.
Yep. Juve, Roma, Inter, Fiorentina. Doesn't get much bigger than that.
No, they don't. Inter. Juve and Roma, I mean, this is a huge game early on. This is the biggest game of the weekend across the world of football.
I mean, Chelsea-Arsenal might make a case for that, too.
Maybe, yeah. But I mean, in terms of where the teams are in standing-wise, I think two teams top of the table. They haven't been beaten yet. They've won every game. They're 5 from 5. I would say that probably trumps it a little. Maybe a bit biased, but it's a huge game. Who's at home, Rob? Is it Juve?
Juve, yeah.
Yeah, Juve are at home. So, I mean, for Roma, I think they'd be delighted with a point here. Juve, I don't know. I mean, for Juve, this is getting they won last year, and it's what propelled them because they had results over Roma in the season before Roma kind of went on a soft spell for a month or so. So I mean, I think overall, I mean, it's be a huge game. Difference is going to be who gets the goal, who scores up front, who gets the goals, because defensively both teams are pretty solid. So you know, can Florenzi, Totti, you know, Destro come through for Roma, or like Morata, Tevez, those guys, Pirlo come through for Juve.
Moving on to La Liga in Spain. No, that wasn't Zorro out there for Atletico Madrid. That was one Mario Mandzukic, who's back from the broken nose.
Yeah, and a good result for Atletico as well.
All convincing,
home,
yeah.
4-0 home against Sevilla. They four different goal scorers too, which is also nice. So they cruise through that game.
And he looks like he's all ready for Halloween, which is nice too.
Yeah, he's coming up soon. He's getting ready for the festive occasions.
Real Madrid 2, Villarreal 0. Modric with a beautiful goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, a good away win for Madrid. You know, after a bit of a slow start with, you know, that loss to Sociedad.
They've picked it up.
It up recently, especially after 8-2 hammering of Deportivo last weekend. You know, Ronaldo got a second goal. I mean, we've had this conversation before about Ronaldo, Messi. It's Ronaldo every day of the week for me still, because the guy just does this every week. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's very consistent. Although Barca thrashed Granada as well.
Yeah, and Messi did score twice. So
I missed the extra point, only 6-0.
Yeah, only 6-0 this week. Neymar had a hat trick. I saw something the other day. He's played like 300 career games, give or take. Not all with Barcelona. And he has 100 or so goals and like 100 and assists. Like the guy is just a monster. Does so well. And he's still so young. He's so good. And your boy Rakitic got a goal in that game as well.
Back to back, yeah. Matty, what are you thinking? It's only a matter of time, I guess, before Ronaldo breaks Raul's goal record for Madrid. I know that he said that's a huge ambition of his.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How close is he? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, the projections were that if he keeps up his current pace, I think it's mid-2016, I read, that he's expected to break it.
Curious to see if he's still there, especially with these Man United rumors keep getting stronger and stronger each week.
I believe he's 50-ish off of the, not to give an exact number, yeah.
But the way he scores for Madrid, that's maybe 40 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy just... He's
a machine.
His goal scoring record in Madrid is phenomenal. It's probably one of the most impressive stats in football history, actually.
Yeah.
The way he scored, especially in like the way the game is these days, where you know defending is better and everything's so advanced. I mean, the guy just nothing stops him. And the other big result as well this week actually was Valencia are kicking around. I'm trying to see the result on my score.
1-1.
1-1 away at Sociedad, which is drop points obviously, but they're second in the league. I mean, remember when Valencia were like perennial Champions League team and you know were really good they kind of just became nothing for a while.
It was the David Villa days when he was there.
Yeah, very much so. So, I mean, Valencia are second in the league now, two points behind Barca and tied with Atletico, who I believe play each other this weekend, right?
Deportivo, 1-0 Almeria at home? That's not a good result.
Well, after getting hammered by 8-2 by Madrid,
you'd expect they're going to get something out of that at home. Like, that's awful.
Deportivo are kind of like...
Remember
we were saying when they were in the Champions League and now they're pretty much nothing again now. Like, do you remember Diego Tristan for them?
Yeah, and Atletico Valencia, that's right. That fixture is this
That's a big game. Joint second, battling it up there. I mean, curious to see how real Valencia are this week. They have some good players. You know, Alvaro Negredo's on loan from Man City. Feguli is someone you know.
Yeah.
Alcacer, young, really good Spanish striker. Jao Pereira from Portugal. Piatti up front. Diego Alves in goal. So they got the pieces. It's whether they can put it together for a full year. But they'll be looking to make the Champions League this year, if anything.
Yeah, but I think that's on their radar for sure. Matty, Bundesliga, Bayern 2, Köln 0.
Yeah, I mean...
Not too surprising.
Stroll in the park, nothing too much there. Bundesliga, as we said, were also midweek. And I said that Bayern played Paderborn when they were top of the table at the end of last week's show.
Yeah, they got whooped.
They're not top of the table anymore. They got absolutely hammered by Munich, 4-0. It was so easy. And Paderborn actually lost again this weekend to a surprising Borussia Mönchengladbach, who were surging towards the top of the table.
I'm glad you said that word and not me.
Yeah, not you, but too much.
Like when you used to leave the Greek defender names for me in the World Cup shows.
Absolutely, there's not a chance I can pull those off. So, I mean, Bundesliga is just still kind of all over the place. Like, Dortmund lost to Schalke this weekend.
Yeah, you feel like it's trying to sort itself out a little bit. I don't know that we really know who's who or what's what at this point yet.
It's really all over the shop, Rob. And, I mean, Dortmund dropped points in the week with a 2-2 home draw of Stuttgart. I mean, Bayern Leverkusen have kind of pulled it together. They had a 4-0... Oh, where am I? Oh, they had a 1-0 home win to Augsburg in the week, and then they got a wager, I believe, this weekend somewhere.
Freiburg, yeah.
Yeah, Freiburg. So they're kind of pulling it together a little bit. But I'm surprised at how poor Dortmund have been earlier on this year in the Bundesliga.
Wolfsburg, a big 2-1 win over Werder Bremen. Ivica Olic with a nice winner on the header, far post. And Ivan Perisic, incidentally, back from injury for them. He's been out for quite some time now. The guy who was rumored to be going to Everton, now back for Wolfsburg. So I'm sure he'll help on the wing there.
Another result is Hamburg losing 2-1 home to Eintracht 2-1. Hamburg, believe it or not, on the bottom of the Bundesliga, which...
strange.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. Champions League.
So, Matty, the one of the big matchups coming up, Dortmund and Hamburg, also Bundesliga. I know it sounds silly because of where they are, but where they are as a name, Hamburg, that's still a big matchup.
It is, and it's a big game for both teams because Dortmund really need to get this season rolling, and in theory, they should hammer or beat, or at least beat the bottom place team. But Hamburg could also take advantage of how poor Dortmund have been to start the year. So it's an interesting matchup. Bundesliga matchups this weekend aren't all that interesting, though. When we looked, but that was one game that kind of caught our eye just because of what both teams need to get out of the game.
It's also, incidentally, Matty, Champions League week. Yeah, some huge fixtures.
Yep.
Tuesday, we got Man City Roma, PSG Barca, Sporting Chelsea, Shakhtar Porto, if Shakhtar can get something out of that, and Moscow and Bayern.
Well, game of the week is, well, probably tie game of the week is Man City Roma and PSG Barca.
Yeah.
I would agree. Obviously, Roma getting the win in the first game in the Champions League, hammering Moscow, Man City losing in the last minute to Bayern. Man City needs something out of this game. Whereas Roma
would like something
out of this game. I think I would put my money here on a draw in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Roma, obviously how well they're playing in Serie A and how well they played in their first Champions League game. PSG-Barca matchup is interesting. PSG dropped points in their first game with Ajax with a 1-1 away draw, and Barca just edged Apoel.
I feel like PSG might pull something here.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past PSG to beat them here. Like, Barcelona... You know, they're you know,
in good form now a little
bit.
Yeah,
I mean, 6-0 win, right? Yeah. I mean, they are flying. I don't know, PSG at home are just, you know, PSG have failed in the Champions League still. Even though when they got all that money, they still failed. And
I'm feeling a 1-1. I'm carrying this momentum from last week.
I got to be honest. If I had to wager some coin, I would say a draw here as well.
The next day, some of the matchups that jump out, Atletico Juve should be a good one.
Yeah, especially after Atletico lost Olympiacos in the first week. They really need something out of this game. They're going to be behind the eight ball real soon. And Juve's pretty much like Roma, you know, dominating Serie A, good win in the first week. So they'll be looking to... I would expect... It wouldn't surprise me if Juve won this game, actually. Because Atletico haven't... They've been good, but I don't think they've been great early on.
No, they've kind of been a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to... I'm going to go out a little. I'm going to say an away win.
Juve.
Yeah.
I think Atletico will get back on their feet and win a tight one. We got, I'm sorry, Basel versus Liverpool here.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think Liverpool should pick it up, but look at what they did with Ludogorets. So, I mean, all bets are off in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm going to go away win, though.
Yeah, I am as well.
I think Liverpool just need to really kick into gear.
Badly.
Not just Champions League, but also Premier League to really get their season going because they've been poor so far. So, yeah, an away win, maybe like a 1-0 or maybe a 2-1, 2-0, somewhere around
there. A 1-0? A Reggie Niller?
Yes, sir.
Another one that really catches my eye, Matt, Arsenal and Galatasaray. You remember me saying, kind of questioning, you know, what Arsenal is going to do in Champions League here. This is going to be a really interesting one, that I would think Arsenal needs to win.
Yeah, they do, especially after their poor performance in Dortmund in the first week of Champions League play.
Less reflected on the scoreboard, more in the play, like we talked
about. Yeah, I mean, it was only 2-0, but they weren't close at all in that game. And they drew off Galatasaray in their first game, so Gala, you know, already ahead of Arsenal. I mean, Gala will be looking for a draw here. There's no question about that. Probably trying to hit Arsenal on the counter-attack. Arsenal know they have to win this game, though.
Yeah, it feels like a 2-1 Arsenal,
anytime
maybe late again.
Anytime a team has to win, and the other team almost... going to be really content with a draw. Usually makes for a pretty entertaining game. So,
also on the docket, Zenit Monaco, Bayer Benfica, Anderlecht, and Dortmund. Any quick thoughts on those, Matty?
Zenit obviously a good win in their first week. They're playing Monaco, who also won in their first game as well. So, I mean, we've always said this group is so tough with
so
Bayern
open,
and Benfica.
Yeah.
Bayer Leverkusen and Benfica as well. So, I mean, but Bayer Leverkusen and Benfica both lost their first games, so they really need something. And
Benfica looked bad too.
They did. Yeah, they did. You know, Bayer could really do something here, especially at home. So I would wager Zenit Monaco draw, Bayer home win.
Zenit Monaco draw, Bayer home. Yeah, I could see that as well. Dortmund Anderlecht. I'm team Dortmund.
I'm a big fan of what Dortmund do, and I noticed
another 2-0 maybe in the cards.
Yeah, maybe even 3-0. I think Dortmund. You know, Ciro Immobile's doing all right. Mats Hummels is back now for Dortmund, which is big. I mean, they're still, you know, missing Marco Rus and a few other guys, but Dortmund, they kind of like, you know, they're not as bad as Liverpool really, but they kind of really need to get their season kit going as well. And this is kind of game they could definitely do with winning and, you know, move on from.
Well, hopefully we'll be as accurate in predictions this week.
We did pretty well last week.
Yeah. That's it for Footy Roundup today. Thanks for listening.